Let's go into the word straight away. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of the word. I will declare and decree at the end of today's meeting as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Praise God. Hallelujah. Right, so we'll just, like I've said earlier on, we would be paying attention to discipleship in the coming days. And we'll have that, you know, we'll have a series on that just to give us an intro to that this coming month, or this month really, this January. But all through the year and going forward as well, we want to lay certain foundations regarding discipleship. So this year we're going to be paying attention to discipleship and what is expected from us as disciples and who are disciples and how do we qualify or what makes us disciples and all of those things. Yeah, but before we go into that conversation, this morning I just want to, you know, encourage us, instruct us and admonish us regarding certain things that we could do with the new year. You know, and you would know by now if you've been, you know, listening to me for a while, we're always trying to make sure that one of the first teachings we do or the last teachings we do in the previous year or the new year is to remind ourselves of things that are expected from us in the coming year, or in the coming day, or in the coming days, right? So what that does for us is that it makes us remind ourselves or bring to our full consciousness that which is expected from us as believers. Anyways, we'll just start somewhere just because we have to start somewhere. Look at Ephesians. So we're starting the year with Ephesians, right? Ephesians chapter 5. What a beautiful way to start the year. You would have thought Matthew 28, right? Or Luke 24. But we will start with Ephesians chapter 5, I look at verse 15. So verse 15 is placed in the context of chapter 5 and by extension in the context of the book of Ephesians. However, I want us to pay attention to verse 15 this morning, Ephesians 5 verse 15. So, you see, if it shouldn't be difficult to remember 6 months from now, 7 months from now, 9 months from now, what is the scripture we used to start? So you would know that I didn't start from Matthew 28, Luke 24, John or Mark 16, or Acts or any of the scriptures, but we started from Ephesians, right? So we just might dwell a lot in the book of Ephesians this year, but let's see how the year goes. But don't forget what I'm about to read to you and what we're about to read just now. We'll just pay a little attention to that. So look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. So Paul says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Okay, do you think that Paul understands what it means to be foolish and what it means to be wise? Okay, let's see Galatians 3. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, look at verse 1. Right, so Paul will call a group of people, so he would say, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who are now," you know, like I'd always say when I read scriptures like this or Luke 24, when Jesus would say, "Oh, fools," right? Jesus was saying in Luke 24, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe," right? And I would say he's explaining the state of their heart, and that word is not entirely as used as what we will use it as in our day and time. By the way, he says, "Oh, foolish Galatians," so Paul really knows what it means to be fools and what it means to be wise. Look at verse 3. "Are you so foolish?" That's all I wanted to read from Galatians 3. So go back to Ephesians 5. Right. So Paul that can say, "Oh, foolish Galatians, are you so foolish?" If he says that, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise," it means you should really know that he knows what he's saying, right? He says, redeeming the time. Now, pay attention to this. So he's linking the redemption of time to the conversation of being fools or being wise, right? So he links the options of being fools or being wise with the conversation around time. So it says redeeming the time because the days are evil. So he's linking the conversations of fools and wise to time because of the explanation he will give to the days, right? So he says the days are evil. Now look at verse 17. It says, "Wherefore Be ye not unwise. So what is another word for unwise? Another word for unwise is to be foolish, right? So another word for being foolish is to be unwise. Are we together? So what does it really mean to be unwise? It means to be without wisdom regarding a conversation. Are we together? Right? Not to put things or to realign. Anyways, so it says, see then that you walk not as fools, but as wise. It now goes further and says in verse 17, it says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Look at that again. It says, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So it's not far-fetched that whilst foolishness and wisdom is linked to time, there is an overall conversation regarding the will of the Lord. And there is an overall conversation regarding understanding that will of the Lord. So there is the not to, there is the call not to be foolish, there is the call to be wise, there is a call to redeem time, there is a call not to be unwise, and there's a call to understand what the will of the Lord is. Are we together? So you will link time to understanding the will of the Lord is. Now the question now becomes, what is the will of the Lord? Now, so look at verse 15 again. So it says, see then that ye walk circumspectly. Now that word circumspectly is a word that means to be diligent, right? To be diligent. To be diligent. So if you look at verse 15, verse 16, and verse 17 in a wholesome manner, what will you think he's asking to be diligent regarding? So see then that you walk circumspectly, that is, walk diligently regarding the will of the Lord. You see that? Not forgetting there is the concept of time in the middle. So there is the time, there is the call not to be foolish, there's the call to be wise, not to be unwise, understanding what the will of the Lord is. So it means that in view, you would see Paul admonishing regarding a diligence regarding the will of the Lord. So what will it mean to be wise, or what will Paul mean to be wise? To be wise will mean to understand the will of the Lord. Look at verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise. So if you find out what qualifies a man to be unwise, according to Paul, you by extension find out what qualifies a man to be wise. So be ye therefore unwise, or be ye not rather unwise, but understand the will of the Lord. So to be wise will be to understand the will of the Lord. It will mean to have the will of the Lord in view always. Why do you think there is a in view always? Because he has highlighted redeeming the time. All together. So what is the will of the Lord? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. Are you there? Are you there? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Now, it says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, that this is Paul to his spiritual son, Timothy. How do you know? Go back to chapter 1. Look at chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, 1 Timothy 1, 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Now, look at verse 2. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. Now go back to chapter 2. So when he says chapter 2 verse 1, I exhort therefore, who is he exhorting? He's exhorting Timothy, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. You see, if you are diligent enough, you will see that, right? He mentions prayers, supplications, intercession, and talks about giving of thanks. You know, there's a narrative of people who believe that coming into the reality of God's love, all we need to do with our Christian faith is just to be giving thanks. Oh Lord, thank you. Oh Lord, give you all the praise. Right? You know, I always give this example when we have our long hours of prayer and teachings. You know, I usually say, you know, when we start praying, we say we are praying 5 hours, 7 hours. You know, at the first hour is not a time to say thank you, Jesus. There's a time to say thank you, Lord Jesus. There's a time to say thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, but there is a time for prayer. There's a time to intercede. There's a time for... So, in the real sense, you must be able to know when we are to pray, when we are to give thanks. Anyways, so he says that giving of thanks be made for all men. Now look at verse 2. He now says, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is the will of God. Now look at verse 3. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now look at a fact about this God our Savior. Verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved? Who will have all men to be saved? So what is the will of the Father? The will of God our Savior is to have all men to be saved and to come, right, unto the knowledge of the truth. We'll look at that verse carefully in days to come, right, this month, right? So who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in good time. So what is the will of the Father? The will of the Father is that men come to the knowledge of the truth. Oh, look at it this way. The will of the Father, verse 4, is that men are saved and come into or unto the knowledge of the truth. So all men being saved is part of the will of the Father. Growing in knowledge is part of the will of the Father. Altogether. So people don't get saved so that they feel like there is nothing else to do. No, it is you get saved, then there's such a thing called growth. So think about a baby. A baby is born, then it is expected that the baby grows. It's expected that after a certain period of what time, right, there's a kind of attitude you ought not to expect from that baby again. The same thing with the spiritual baby or a spiritual born or a spiritually born human or a born again person, really. The difference is for a baby, you said born, but the baby as well needs to grow. For the believer, it is to be born again, then grow again. So the growing again will be a different growth from the expected physical growth from a baby that you would expect. Are you together? Right? So who gave himself a ransom for all, verse 6, to be testified in due time? So it is God's will that all men are saved and come to the knowledge of his truth. Look at Matthew's Gospel 28. Look at Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. Matthew's Gospel 28. Look at Matthew's Gospel 28. Look at verse 18. Are you there? Have you got them? Matthew's Gospel 28. Look at verse 18 carefully. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in where? In heaven and in earth. And I hope you know that the heaven and the earth will be a narrative to speak about the resurrection, right? So, go ye therefore, or the effect of resurrection, the resurrection and its effect in the heart of men, supply to man rather, right? So, go ye therefore. So what is the power? The word the power is the word authority in verse 18. So what is the power for? To go ye therefore. So Jesus has an authority, right? That's the word power. And in that authority, he says, go ye therefore. So on account of this authority, I say go. Altogether, right? So it means that, look, see what I'm about to say carefully. It means that for every single day and time of the believer, there's an instruction from our Lord and Savior to go. Are we together? Right? There's an instruction from our Lord and Savior to go. Let me say that again. For every single time that a believer, right, wants to hear what, or for every single time a believer wants to pay attention to God's instruction, there will be an instruction underneath somewhere around to go. Go regarding what? Right? Right? So look at verse 19. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That is the only mention of the name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost in the entire scriptures. All together, right? So he now tells you in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things. Now let's pay attention to a few words within verse 19 and verse 20. Now look at verse 19. Verse 19, he says, teach, right? Teach all nations. The word there, teach all nations, is the word that is the Greek word you call matheteo, right? It's just a word that really means training people. Are you together? So he says, teach all nations. That word teach is a word that means to make people students or to put or to enroll people in the act and act of training. Are you here? So it's a word that is used for training people. So how do you read verse 19? Go ye therefore and train all nations. That means give or supply training or a mode of training to nations. Now you see, so when you are training someone, it means that the person is being a student, right? So it is used for people who follow with precepts and with examples and by instructions. Are we together? Right? So to make someone a student, to make someone a pupil, to make someone a disciple, that is the word they teach. So how do you read Genesis and Matthew 28 verse 19? Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. Go ye therefore and make students of all nations. See, it's not far-fetched because the people Jesus was talking to were students. Are we together? They were students. They were disciples. So Jesus, the discipler, who was once a disciple, right, will say to his disciples that, go ye therefore and make disciples. Now hold your hands in Matthew 28:19 and go to 2 Timothy 2:2. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 2. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. So the same way Jesus with his authority will instruct his disciples is the same way Paul with his authority will instruct his disciple Timothy. So look at 2 Timothy 2, 1. It says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me amongst many witnesses, the same commit thou to what? Faithful men. Is that the same thing Jesus is saying? Yes. So Paul is telling Timothy, just like Jesus to the disciples, go ye therefore and make disciples. So what is the goal of making disciples? So that they can be disciples who will commit the same things they've learned as disciples, into bracket students, into bracket pupils, to other people, pupils, right, to other people. Are you together? So, and the things that thou hast heard of me, so see it this way, Paul, a discipler, telling his disciple, the things you've heard of me as a disciple from me, your discipler, commit to faithful men who will be your disciples so that they can be disciples to other disciples. You see, you cannot really run away from the mode they act, the instruction and the art of discipleship as a believer. Are we together? So, go ye therefore as my disciple to become disciples to other disciples so that those disciples can grow to become disciples to other disciples, so that those disciples can become disciples to other disciples. Then those disciples become disciples so that disciples can become disciples to other disciples. You see what I just said, right? Yeah, see, what I just said is just in two stages. A disciple stage, a disciple stage. It must be reproduced across each, you know, which cadre. It must be reproduced across each level. It must be reproduced across each set of relationship amongst people. What do I mean? I am a disciple to you, right? I have disciples. And as a disciple, I'm learning to be a discipler to you, so that you as a disciple will have disciples, right? Or disciples, so that they become disciples, you become their disciples, so that they can become disciples that become disciples, to eventually become disciples that will become disciples, to become disciples that will become, you see, it's an unending cycle. You see, what is the will of God? That all men be saved. How do you think God will do it? It is through that organogram. Did you see that? How do you expect God will do it? It's not far-fetched though. It's not far-fetched. It is through that organogram. It is through that pattern, right? It is through that connection, right? It is through that, those systems, a lot of us would have participated in that, where you give somebody money, then other people give you money, so that other people that give them money, they can get their money back. So that other people that, you understand that cycle? You see, just look at it that way, discipleship way, but not with money way, right? Think about it this way. Right, for every man that is a believer, right, he first needs to be a disciple with the end goal of being a disciple. Are you here? He needs to be a disciple with the end goal of having other disciples. See, we don't stop the Christian faith as being disciples. We start the Christian faith to enroll as disciples so that we have other disciples we are enrolling. So the Christian faith is such that a man who is born of the Holy Ghost, a man who is born of the Spirit, ought to give himself yet more and more every day. So every time is an opportunity to decide to give yourself yet more to discipleship. Why? Because you know you are expected to have disciples. The reason why a lot of people don't give themselves to the Christian faith, to discipleship, is because they don't understand that there is a call upon their lives to become disciples. See, I'm not talking of marketplace discipleship. You know, all those, you know, very interesting, ridiculous things we say. You know, I'm an apostle to the marketplace. I'm a financial sector disciple. No, you are just hungry, right? See, just stay hungry, right? See, and it's good to be hungry sometimes, right? Because it's your hunger for the word that will make you have more word. Anyways, so see, a marketplace apostle is not an apostle or a ministry gift in the redemption that says that because you, so you use the money you get, the financial stability you get as an example to teach other people that they can get it. No, both atheists, both any other religion can watch you and see you mentor them. But when it comes to the Christian faith, it is you are a disciple of the word, right? You are a disciple learning from a discipler so that you will become a discipler to a disciple. Right, and you know it will not just be a disciple will not just be a. Just so take a as a figurative statement this year. So when I say a disciple, it is so many disciples. Are we together? So Paul will tell Timothy, the things you've heard of me, commit them to faithful men. So faithful men into bracket, faithful disciples. How do you determine the faithfulness of a disciple? In their ability to remain under discipleship and to learn to grow. Are we together? Are we together? You see, if, let me summarize this narrative. You remember in Acts chapter 1, when they were looking for who was going to replace Judas, you know it wasn't far-fetched, right? Look at Acts 1. Let's even go there. It just makes a lot of things easy for us to communicate. Look at Acts chapter 1 quickly. Look at Acts chapter 1 quickly. So if you look at Acts chapter 1, you will see that in Acts chapter 1, after they had prayed, you see, Jesus, okay, look at Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Or look at Acts chapter 1, verse 2. He says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles. So whilst you see the word apostles, they were his disciples. Can you disciple someone that will eventually be an apostle? Yes, so you can. I hope you know that, right? Anyways, and you know, I've explained over time, the apostleship, the pastoring, the evangelist, the propheting, and all of those things, they are ministry gifts that you ought to see from an angle of an office that believers step in to operate in or with part-time. Anyways, so he says, verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Look at verse 3. He says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. So what are the infallible proofs? We see in Luke 24 that the infallible proofs will be from the teaching of the scriptures from the beginning, Moses, by extension, the prophets, right? So he says he began to teach them. Now look at what he says next. Being seen of them for 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So Jesus took disciples and taught them for 40 days back to back regarding the kingdom of God. Now, it is important to note that when Jesus finished teaching for 40 days about kingdom of God, they asked a question in verse 6. Look at verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Jesus, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? So did Jesus teach about the kingdom? Yes. For 40 days? Yes. What kingdom? Kingdom of God. What question did they ask after the teaching of the kingdom of God? When will you restore, verse 6, the kingdom of Israel? So it means that in the 40 days teaching of Jesus, there was not a teaching regarding the kingdom of Israel. Are we together? So in the real sense, there is the government of God and the government of man, right? So it is wise for a believer to separate the government of God and the government of man. Are we together? So it means that, see, look at it this way. For Luke to tell you that they, to summarize the question that they asked just after a teaching seminar of 40 days back to back, right, as a question regarding the kingdom of Israel, it means that Jesus' narrative for 40 days did not include governmental or political talk. Mind you, at the time this was happening, the Roman guys were imposters in the government house. I was together, right? So in the real sense, what was happening? They were thinking that Jesus was the one that would take over the governmental political sphere of Israel that has been hijacked by imposters and restore it back to the Israelites. Now look at what Jesus says in verse 7. That is not for you to know. So that is not for you. What is for you is to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his time or in his power. Are we together? What is he saying? Is he saying a believer should not be involved in politics? No. He is saying that it is wrong for a believer to say his ministry is to become a politician. No. No. Are we together? Right. You see, when it comes to politics, God has little or nothing to say about it. And me saying little or nothing is to massage your ego a little. Are we together? You see, politics, government is man-made. Man decides what happens in the governmental sphere. Are we together? You know, like I would always say, election is won by how well you can convince the people or convince the ballot boxes. Are we together? That's why people don't... Anyways, let's not go into the narrative. You know, I don't like going there. Right? So in the real sense, when you talk about the government of a people, it is solely man-made. Man decides who gets into power. Man, people voting, or man who decides to forcefully get himself into power. God doesn't assign, choose, or select presidents or governors or senators for people, right? So to become a governor, it is your willpower. What you need to know is to see what is the instruction to you as a disciple. Are we together? What is your instruction to you as a disciple? That is, become a disciple who will become a discipler to other disciples. Not teaching them how to govern the affairs of men, not teaching them how to do politics or sentimental politics. No, teaching them the will of the Father and how it is God's will that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of His truth. Are we together? Right, so you see, there is no need to pray for a governor to get into power. Did I say you should not pray? That's your business, right? I just said there is no need to pray for a governor. There is no need to pray for a president to get into power. It's not necessary, right? Because all those are man-made and they are sorted out by man-made conversation. So if Jesus will teach for 40 days, right, and they will ask him a question regarding the kingdom of Israel, and he says it's not for you, he now tells you in Acts chapter 1, and you read downwards, he says they were now praying up until the day of Pentecost. It means the prayer they would have been praying will be regarding the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of Israel. So not for once will you think that they would have mentioned a prayer point regarding the kingdom of Israel within the, let's say, 9 to 10 days, of, let's say an average of 7 to 10 days they were praying up until the day of Pentecost. Are we together? So the believer ought to know he needs to pray. The believer also ought to know what he ought to put as priority in the place of prayer, or what he ought to pray for, or how he ought to pray. Are we together? Anyways, so look at verse 16. Acts 1:16. He says, "Men and brethren, the scriptures must be fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas." I hope you know that when David spoke through utterances, he didn't mention Judas as the person that will betray. No. He mentioned the acts of betrayal. Judas, by his choices, fit into the prophecy. Are we together? Excuse me. So Judas, by his actions, by his choices, fits into the prophecy of David. So look at what he says. He says, "David spoke before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus." Look at 17. Excuse me. He says, "For he was numbered with us, and he had obtained part of this ministry." Now, this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. I've done a series on this before, and I've tried to explain what figures of speech are on a fundamental level. Now, and I said, verse 18, when he says, "This man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity," that is a figure of speech. Remember, after Judas betrayed and he was paid, right? After the betrayal, we see the record of him going to hang himself. Did you get that? Are we together? So it's a figure of speech that says that Judas went to buy a land. No, see what it says. "Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and his bowels gushed out." What are they really saying? The money that ought to be for Judas, in the real sense, was used to buy a field. Hallelujah. Look at verse 19. It says, "And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Akel Damah, which is to say the field of blood." So the money that was to be for Judas upon his betrayal was a money used to buy a field, purchase a field, and the field is called the field of blood. Figure of speech. Just like where you see John 14. Look at John 4. Don't forget, we are really in Ephesians 5. Look at John 4, verse 1. "So when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John," Hold on, hold on, hold on. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. So if you read verse 1 of chapter 4 alone, you would see that Jesus baptized more disciples than John. But there is a disclaimer in verse 2. Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. So why did they say Jesus baptized? It is because they used Jesus to attribute the work, or they attributed the work of Jesus' disciples to Jesus. So that's the figure of speech where we explain a name is present in the giving or the statement of an action, but the name of the person is totally absent. Are we together? So Jesus is present as the one that baptized more disciples than John, but in the real sense, it's a figurative expression excluding the man Jesus. Anyways, look at Acts 1. So Judas's money will be used to purchase his field. So you will say Judas purchased, but it's figurative, because in the real sense, Judas himself, or is the money that he was his reward, or that was the reward for his betrayer, that was used to purchase the field. Now, look at verse 20. Now look at verse 20 carefully, where I'm really going to. It says, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell in therein, and his bishopric let another take. Now look at verse 21 carefully. It says, wherefore of these men, which have complained with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning at the baptism of John, unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Listen to that carefully, right? If you've not gotten anything in what I've said this morning, right, try to get what I'm about to say. Judas betrayed, Judas's position was vacant, and they needed to refill that position with a man. What was the criteria of getting a man? Look at verse 21 again. Wherefore of these men? So first of all, some men were sieved out of other men. So they picked out certain men on the criteria of they've been companying with them, or being in the company of them, right from the baptism of John of Jesus until the day that Jesus resurrected. What an example of discipleship. Mind you, they were not following them because they wanted to become leaders. They were not always around when Jesus was teaching, when Jesus was being baptized, when Jesus was doing ministry, because they had an end goal of replacing Judas. No. They were following as disciples because that is the art and act of a disciple. Dear saints, make up your mind in the year to be that disciple that will be an example of one who is always around. The summary of Acts 1:21-22 is a summary of two people who were always around during the ministry of Jesus. Are we together? You see, that's why a lot of time in the Christian garden, amongst the Christian saints, it's not difficult to choose who can be models and example to other people. Who is always around? Who is always not going to give an example? Now, look at it. He said, wherefore of these men which have complained with us, look at what it says, all the time. Look at that again. All the time. 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 That the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism up until the resurrection. Look at what it says. They appointed to Joseph called Barsabbas, whose surname was Justus, and Matthias. Out together. So the first way they sieved the people that could replace Judas's position was by who has been around. Who is consistent? Are we together? Who has been around all the time? Dear saint, make up your mind in the year that you would always be around. Make up your mind in the year, in the coming year, and in the years to come, that you will always be present. Right? Not being present with the end goal of you want to impress so that you can become a leader. No. Or you want to impress so that you can replace the Judas. Nah. It is being around because you know it is the act and a feature and characteristics of being a good disciple. Are we together? Are we together? Right? So you know, it's good as a pastor to know people who you know will always be around. You know, there are some of you I know that will always be around for meetings. Are we together? It's also good as a member, as a disciple, to be among the people that pastor knows will always be around. You know, I always give people an example. If you were the one to teach, will you be around? Over the last few years of doing few years of ministry, I realized that when we give people responsibilities, people who in the real sense might be absent from meetings, they are usually around when it's their turn to pray, to preach, to minister, to sing. I realized it over the years. Altogether, right? So the question now becomes, are you really serving as a disciple, or you are looking for position? Or you are trying to make yourself relevant by force? Are you here? Listen to what I'm saying carefully. They were about to see and select someone that would replace. And the first criteria was, who has been around from the beginning? Who has been around from the beginning all the time is another way of saying who has been consistent. Do you think there were other people that were following Jesus? Yes, but there were some of them that were following that were not consistent. Are we together? Why are they not consistent? What they would have termed as legitimate reasons. But there were men called Joseph, and there was another man called Matthias, who, regardless of what would be termed legitimate, they were presently available as disciples. Anyways, so it is not difficult. Let's try to close all the scriptures. We've opened lots of scriptures this morning, right? So Acts 1, we're trying to explain. Now, we're able to see that Paul will tell Timothy, find disciples who are faithful. So, were they going to commit responsibilities to Joseph and Matthias? Yes. What name will you call Joseph and Matthias? Faithful men. So Timothy needs to find a Joseph and Matthias that will be faithful in being discipled, so that they can become disciples of other disciples. The things thou hast heard of me amongst many witnesses, commit the same. So discipleship entails being present to hear the same thing we've heard from our disciples. Anyways, he says, they commit the same thing to faithful men who shall be able to what? Teach others also. Are we together? So go back to Matthew 28. So we went to 2 Timothy to see an example of Paul, a discipler, telling his disciple who is learning from him to become a solid discipler, so that he will find solid disciples so that they can become disciples to other disciples. Did you get that? So look at Matthew 28. So he says, go ye therefore in the world and teach. The word there, teach, means to make disciples of all nations. Now look at verse 20. He uses another word there, teaching. You know, see, those two words are slightly different words, right? So it says, teaching them to observe all things. The word teaching there, you know, comes with the family of didaskalia, didasko, and we've done a series on that. But, you know, that word is just a word that deals with training people in a particular way, using a particular content and a particular pattern. Are we here? Right? So teaching them to observe means that the teaching there is to train people in a particular way, using a particular pattern, using a particular content. Listen to what I'm saying. There is the way, there is the pattern, there is the content. Yeah, you can put the way and the pattern similarly, but there is the way and the content. Right? There is the way and the content. So when you see Jesus giving himself to discipleship, he has given us a template, a pattern, a way, a content. Now you see that word in verse 20 that says observe. So he says teaching them to observe. That word observe in the Greek is the word terio. Now it's a word that means to attend to something carefully. Right? What you call to pay attention. So when he says teaching them to observe, how do you say that? Teaching them to pay attention to all things whatsoever I have commanded. So what are you paying attention to? The way, the pattern, the content. Say that again. The way, the pattern. I'll say that again. The way, the pattern, the content. Are we together? So we ought to observe carefully, that is to attend to something carefully, to pay attention to something carefully, deliberately. Let me say it this way. To deliberately pay attention to something carefully. So much care. Are we together? Is that the same word, diligence? Yeah. Yeah, that's to be diligent. Right? So it says to teaching them to observe, right? To guard carefully, to observe and pay attention to carefully. Are we together? So now, in the real sense, what is the first thing? The first thing that happens is a man is saved. altogether. So when a man is saved, what happens? He grows in knowledge. You see, that's why you see Paul in Romans 10. We'll talk about how, you know, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, in thy heart, that word of faith which you preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and in thy heart that Jesus is risen from the dead and all those kind of things, you know, and he says, how then shall they call upon his name? Or, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how then shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? As I will now tell you, how beautiful are the feet of those that go into the world and make disciples of all nations. Altogether, Paul will tell them in Corinthians, yeah, the gospel I receive is what I commit unto you, how that Christ died for sins and resurrected according to the scriptures and was seen by men. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So a man who believes is saved, but there's something that happens after salvation. What is the next primary thing for a believer after salvation? Your choice to grow. Discipleship. And that's why your choice of your local assembly will say a lot about your choice to grow. Altogether, right? Your choice of your local assembly will say a lot about your choice or your decision to grow. You know, I see a lot of people say things about, I'm serious about spiritual growth. Oh, grow forever, what forever, doctrine forever, what forever, what forever. Right? And you see the kind of things they say, or the based on the kind of things they hear, you actually say, this one is not serious. Right? This one is not serious. You see, Paul will say you can categorize people in two forms, the unwise and the wise. You cannot say doctrine forever, word forever, ministry forever, and still submit yourself to a certain sphere of influence. You see, let me tell you something. Man is not usually too, let me say it this way. Man is not man enough not to be impressionable. Every man is impressionable. You eventually become an example or a reflection of the doctrine you believe. Are we together? You can't shout word forever, doctrine forever, ministry forever, and yet we see your decision in being committed to a local church that promotes ministry forever. I'm not going to do ministry forever. I go everywhere, do everybody's doing ministry. When I'm in my house, when I'm with my director, and I do something to me and I forgive him, that's ministry. That's a reflection of the message you should have heard, which will be normal from a believer. Ministry is being a disciple that will become a discipler to train people with the way, the content, the pattern by which Jesus trained his disciples. Paul did not say his ministry is the ministry of tent making. Peter did not say his ministry is the ministry of fish. I'm an apostle to the fish industry. No, he didn't say that. Luke did not say, I'm an apostle to the medical world. Either you teach them our world or field. You are not any apostle. See, you are an apostle based on your stomach. God doesn't ordain apostles to the ministry. See, you become a doctor by your choice. You choose to become a doctor. Altogether, you know how many people have wanted to become doctors, which people have told them that's the will of God for their lives, and yet, in the real sense, because life is life, they are found amongst a place where they cannot afford it. They never become doctors. So you see, that one doesn't fulfill the will. You see, the will of the Father is such that regardless of your economical status, right, you can do it. You get that? Right, regardless of your gender, your economical status, no matter how you look, you can do it. What am I saying? To be an engineer, to be a doctor, to be a lawyer, to be an English speaker, whatever, to be a French speaker, whatever, right? You need money to pay for fees, right? To learn. But you know, to do the work of ministry, you don't actually need money to fulfill ministry to God. What does money do? Money might aid, help. Yes, you can help your disciples to transfer them to church, give them. Yeah, but the truth is that God will rather a willing heart who will obey, knowing his heart is yearned for the will or his will on the earth to be done, which is bringing many sons into glory, right? Than a man who is just saying, I'm a believer when they feel form. I'm a Christian when they feel form. I'm a believing Christian. Yeah, come for midweek service. No. Attention on Sunday. No, Sunday is for rest, so I can re-strategize because I'm an apostle to the ministry. No, you are hungry. Altogether, right? So, look, why am I saying all of this? Look at the year 2023 as a time frame or a season where you can decide to be more intentional with observing the pattern, the way, and the content of the ministry of Jesus. Altogether, so it is God's will that all men, Paul would, Luke will tell you in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went around doing good, healing them that were oppressed. That's an example of the believer going around doing good. Going around doing good. Going around doing good. Look at Colossians 1. Remember, we're in Ephesians 5. Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. Look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. And he said, look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. He says, masters, give your unto your servants that which is just and equal. you know that Paul knows that not everybody will be masters. I hope you know that. Let me re-echo what Paul really means. You see, not every believer will be master. Forget those things, those out of context confession we used to make. I shall be the head, I shall not be the tail. In my organization, I'm not the head, though. I hope you know. I don't know. Even my dad's not the head. I don't know who you are. Right? I'm not the head, I shall not be the tail. I'm the head. No. Not every believer will be masters. That's why you see in Paul's writing, he gives instructions to masters and he gives instructions to servants. Are we together? Let me say that again. The Christian faith doesn't assure that every believer will be a master. The Christian faith doesn't assure that every believer will be a mastering leader. The Christian faith doesn't assure that every believer will have money. The Christian faith doesn't assure that every believer will rise to the highest cadre or the highest degree in your office. No. What the Christian faith assures is that every believer should be a disciple who will become a discipler to other disciples so that they can become disciples to other disciples. Are you here? So, Paul will tell masters, give unto your servants that which is what? Just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Now, look at verse 2. It says, continue in prayer. Right? You know, I've done a series on that before. We can go through where you see the instructions where Paul gives to servants. When he says, obey your servants with the singleness of heart, which is in the Bible. So Paul knows there are believers that will be servants. Are we together? Are we together? Not every believer can be a master. Same way, not every believer will be a servant. You know, somebody will say, all is motivation speaking. If you say, all non-thinkers are not equal, why must you be the shortest one? See, leave that narrative. You see, being the shortest one when it comes to our fears of life is not usually a lot of times independent of other people. Are we together? What am I trying to say? Right? No matter what man does on this earth, right, there is such a thing called the influence or the impact of the decisions of other people. You see, there are men in this world that if they come on CNN and make a news about something going down, people who are millionaires will become thousandaires overnight. That's the power of, you see, that power of words in the mouth of some men. Are we together? You know, some of us who maybe as believers, we are buying stocks here and buying investment. You know, it just takes another man who doesn't believe there's a God to make a statement on Twitter. And you start crying. Anyways, right, you see, it really takes a man in your organization to say, I'm tired of paying 500 people. I want to reduce 500 people to 10 people. And all you do, you have to look for another job. You're not the head, though. I'm not the head, I'm the head, I'm not the tail. Leave that narrative. Yeah, not every believer will be the head. Yeah, and don't think of tail as a terrible thing. Yeah, some believers will be the tail. That's the truth. That's just the way it is. Just think, if you are thinking about narrative of, me, I know I'm not the head in my organization. Are we together? Right? I know I am not the head. I don't know about you. You might be the head. That's you. Yeah. If you are the head, you are fortunate to be among the head. Right? You might not have said, I'm not the head, I'm the tail. But no matter how much I confess, I'm the head, I'm not the tail. In the real sense, for the next few months, into years, before I can grow into a position of being a head in my organization, it will require labor, diligence and hard work, not my confession. Anyways, so it says continue in prayer. Watch in the same with thanksgiving. That's similar to 1 Timothy 2, where it says prayer, supplication, and giving of thanks, right? Without praying also for us that God will open unto us the door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds, right? That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. As I ought to speak. Now he says, verse 5, he says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Redeeming. Now, that word there, redeeming, is a word in the Greek, exagorazo. And it's a word that means to recover from the power of another by payment. Or by payment to recover from the power or the authority of another. Or you can say to buy up our together. Right? Redeeming, the time there, means to buy up, Are we together? Or to make wise decisions and sacred use of every opportunity to do something good. I'll say it one more time. To make wise and sacred use of every opportunity to do something solid, to do something good. Are we together? So redeeming by means to buy payment or to buy up or to make wise decisions with every opportunity for doing something good. Are we together? So it says redeeming the time. That word there, time, right, is a word that means, is a word, kairos, right, is a word that means a measure of time or an opportunity or a season within time. Are we together? What some people might term as the right time. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Right, so there is the right time, the seasonal time amongst time, right? An opportunity time amongst time, within time, a definite time within time, a measure of time within time. Are we together? Are we together? So it says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without. Who will be those that are without? Those will be those. So who are those that are without? They are those that are not within. So who is this instruction to? This instruction is to those that are within. So we are within. What are we to do? We are to walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. So what will redeeming the time have to do with? Go back to Ephesians 5, where we started from. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So what is redeeming the time? It has to do with expressing or giving expression to certain activities, understanding or having in mind what the will of the Father is. Are we together? 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 Now, look at that carefully. So, look at that carefully. He says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now, it says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, what is redeeming the time? Redeeming the time is redeeming every seasonable opportunity amidst what you call time. Now, I said it is a word that is used to speak about a definite season, a seasonal period, an opportunity. Or let me say this, maybe we will understand that better. You know, it's a word usually used for things that might not happen all the time. So it is something that happens one off or within a time and might not happen again for another time or might not happen again forever. Or might happen once in a lifetime. So for instance, being a 20-year-old lady will never happen two times in your lifetime. That's how to look at that word kairos. It's a measure of time where something happens once and doesn't happen again or doesn't happen over time. So what did Paul say we should do with that? He said we should redeem the time, that is buy back time, that is seize or take in the moment, right? Make use of that moment in the moment. Take hold of every given opportunity. Take hold of every given space. Take hold of every given time. Take hold of every given opportunity that you have. What does that really do? What does that really mean? Redeeming the time. So it means that the believer ought not to be one that wastes time, because time is not in our hands. You see, time started before we were born. So every man listening to me right now, or every woman listening to me right now, was born into time. So we're born into time that was already counting. So time was counting before we were born. Paul will say, for every time you are in time, redeem the time with a mindset of understanding the will of the Father. So for every time you see an unbeliever, right, you see a man who is without, that you ought to redeem the time regarding. For every time you see a believer, you see a man who, in the real sense, you ought to redeem the time by allowing him to come into what? Better knowledge. To grow in what? Knowledge. To become more aware of the ministry that God has committed into his or her hands. So what happens with the new year, right? You see, we don't have to be superstitious about the new year. You see, the new year 2023 is just another 365 days to make a decision to redeem the time. Are we together? You know, people say, however you start the year is how you end the year. It's not always true. right? You know, right? You see, a lot of us did not start the year on great notes, but we ended the year on great notes. A lot of people as well started the year on great notes and did not end the year on great notes. So how you start the year doesn't usually a lot of times reflect. The question is, what are you thinking with each time and opportunity that you have to do something better, to redeem the time? What is your mindset regarding redeeming the time? What is the concept of redeeming the time? What is your ideology of redeeming time? Do you think time is in your hands? You know, there's some people you have around you that are friends, right? There's someone listening to me right now. In recent times, you've even asked yourself a question. Why is it that a group of people from a part of the world are beginning to come more into your circle? Right? Spirit of God says to you today, in the coming year, try to as much as possible to deliberately redeem the time. You see, there's some people you meet one of and you might never in your life see them again. Redeem the time. What does that mean? In the coming years, you might be on the bus. You might sit beside someone on the train. You might sit beside someone on a plane. You might sit beside someone in the Uber or your Uber ride, right? The question is, what do you make of that time? What do you make of that time? Are you someone who believes that, oh, you know, this year, let me just take it easy with my Christopher. At least all of us are growing. At least, yes, we know we are all growing. Right? But you don't have to be the one that expresses stunted growth. Are we together? You see, in the coming year, you will get... I know that in this year, I'll be busier. 2022, for instance, has been my busiest year in my life. Right? It was busier. 2021, at the time, was the busiest. You see, but 2022 surpassed that times three. Are we together? Right? So, but I know that 2023 is going to surpass 2022 by four. I already know. Are we together? But in my knowing, I have a mindset in going into the year that I'm going to redeem the time for every opportunity I have. Are we together? You see, there's some people that you will meet only 10 seconds in your life. And 10 seconds in your life, after that, you may never see them again. And you might have been the only minister that could have ministered to them. And maybe something happens to them and they sleep or they die. Are we together? You see, have a sense of urgency whilst approaching the days to come. Are we together? That God counts on you. That God relies on you. Right? Paul will say, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You see, they're saying, you don't have time in your hands. Right? You don't have time in your hands. You don't have time in your hands. You cannot determine how time will go in a day. How many of you can wake up and decide, I want today, because today is the 1st of January, I want today to be 24 hours, 30 minutes. You cannot. The same 24 hours you have into the bank account of your time, or the bank account of your life, the time bank account of your life, is the same I have. You see, for every time you claim that you will do, or for every time you claim that you will postpone certain activities to the next, there is someone else who is busier than you that will stand as a judgment against you to show that it could have been done. Are we together? Right? No matter how busy I claim I am, there are people that if I just want to see that I can do better, I just put myself in their conversations and just listen to them. Because I know they are busier. I know that they go out more for evangelism. You think I'm the one that goes out the most? No, I'm not. You know, but there should be a sense of urgency as the days unfold, as the weeks unfold, as the years unfold, that you are trying to seize every opportunity. That is what Paul is teaching about here. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. So to walk circumspectly, that is walk diligently, is to redeem the time, understanding the will of the Father. The moment you are out of that picture, you are one that Paul will say, wherefore be ye not what? Unwise. So, we are not superstitious about 2023. Yeah, when you add 2023, 2 plus 2, 4, 4 plus 3 is 7, right? So, 7 is number of perfection. This is the year of my perfection. Yeah, you know what superstition is? When you are attaching meanings to things that ought not to have meaning. Yeah, your hand is scratching you. How many of us, their hands scratch in January? Are we together? It's not by the hand scratching. Eh? People are making this money without hand scratching them. Yeah, if your hand is scratching, you take anti-allergy. Are we together? That's superstition, right? You say you wake up January 1st, you have the question, money is coming. They say that's superstition. Yeah, you need to, you know, loratidine. Yeah, I'm not pharmacy. I know, Sister Pleasant should know that. Yeah, but I'm not into the pharmacy world. Right? But you can actually take loratidine. Your hand is scratching. You are getting irritated. That's superstition. So when you say, the year begins on a Sunday will mean that it's going to be God has going to Paul says, do not walk like the unwise. Redeem the time because the days are evil. Have that mindset. Have that knowledge. Have that mindset. The days are evil. Time is not in my hand. You see, who told you when your days on the earth will be over? Who knows? You see, life would have been different if everybody knew their end date. Life would have been totally different. But we don't know. We don't know. So what do we do with the time that we have? The fact that there is breath in our nose. If you see it as another opportunity, what can I do for the gospel? What can I do in ministry? What can I do for the kingdom of God? How much more can I be better in my service? Yeah, you see, there are times or there are certain things that need to be done at certain times. And if they are not done at that time, they are never done. Let me give you an instance. You see, you can walk up to someone who is an unbeliever and you are the last person that will ever speak to that person in his life and the person will just pass. What did you not do? You did not redeem that time. You see, there are people that are colleagues in our offices, right? We've had promptings and nods in the last 2022 to speak to them about the gospel, right? But we are saying, I'll see them next Monday. I'll see them. Who told you? Who told you? You were born into time. Time already existed before you, so you cannot have authority over time. You can believe for the best, hope for the best. I mean, an average person wants to live long. I said an average. Not everybody really wants to live long. I hope you know that, right? You see, people have different mindsets. I would get that, right? Not everybody goes to school to finish with a first class. Not everybody goes to school to finish with a third class. Not everybody goes to school with intention to graduate. So people go to school with intention to do their extracurricular activities. All together. Yeah, but the point remains that in the real sense, the believer ought to have the mindset of redeeming the time. Why? Knowing that the days are evil. So the Spirit of God within us is giving us or has given us a sense of purpose concerning the will of the Father. Altogether. So be that believer that will be like Joseph or Matthias, who will always be around in learning, who will always be around in evangelical meetings, coming for evangelism, coming for prayer meetings, coming for vigils, coming for believers meetings, coming for Sunday services, and coming well, coming early, coming prepared. Altogether. You know some people, I know some people, when they start their year, they decide the number of services they want to attend in the year. I hope you know. There's people that attended services 25th of December as their first service in 2022. And when they ask them now, they say they are believers. Well, they are believers if they believe the gospel. But there's a category we can put them in. Paul says it's either foolish or wise, or unwise or wise. Are we together? So there's a sense of redeeming the time. There's a sense of this year, I'm going to make sure I'm going to attend all services. You know, I was saying something to someone. I said, no matter how much I want to go on a holiday, right? I must make sure as much as possible, right, that I am around on a Sunday. If every believer, that should not be my mindset because I'm the one preaching. That should be the mindset of every believer. So you know that there are some meetings you will miss that you might never, it might take you 3 to 10 years to understand what you missed in that meeting. You know that? You know there are some teachings you will miss that it might take you 3-4 weeks to understand what you missed in that teaching. Redeeming the time. Are we together? Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. There are things that needs to be done per time. And if they are not done, they are not done. Are you here? If they are not done, they are not done. If they are not done, they are not done. If they are not done, they are not. Look at Jesus in Matthew 26. See some people play in Matthew 26. All together. Matthew 26. Look at verse 36. Matthew 26, 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray. Now, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. What does it mean to watch? Go back to Habakkuk 2, verse 1. Habakkuk 2, verse 1. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. He says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall say, or I shall answer when I am what? Reproved. So I will stand upon my watch. What do you think that watch will be? Go to Ephesians 6, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. He says, praying always without prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So what does it mean to watch? To watch will mean to pray. Look at Mark 14, 38. You know, some people have thought that to mean that when it says watch and pray, it means put security camera in your house, put security dog in your house whilst you are praying inside. Right? No, no, no. Or watch out for jobs that are being vacant, or vacant jobs while you are praying. No. To watch, in scriptures, the call to watch is the call to pray. Look at verse 36. So this is the same narrative of what we're reading in Matthew 26. So it says in verse 37, and he cometh and findeth them sleeping. And remember, what did Jesus tell them in Matthew 26? He says, watch with me whilst I go and pray. So he came back and met them sleeping. Right? And he said, Simon, sleepeth thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? So what was he expecting them to do for 1 hour? Watch. What does it mean to watch? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter. So to watch is to pray. It's not saying be watching so that snake doesn't come to my direction when I'm in the wilderness. No, 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 no. It's not saying watch out for wild animals. No. The call to watch is the call to pray. Are we together? So what does it mean to watch? To watch is to pray. So how does the believer watch? The believer watches by praying. Yeah, according to Bible hermeneutics. Right, so go back to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, right? So what was Jesus going to do? He says, sit here while I go and pray, right? Look at verse 38. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here and watch with me. So what is he saying? Whilst you are here, watch. How does the believer watch? The believer watches by praying. Now, he says in verse 39, and he went a little further and fell on his face and what? Prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass. Now, he came unto them in verse 40, unto the disciples. So there are two types of disciples, those who will not redeem the time and those who will sleep. You see, today you might be one who will sleep by not redeeming the time, or you might be one who will not redeem the time by sleeping, but doesn't change the fact that the next second is an opportunity to repent and redeem the time. You know what I just said? Right. So he said, and he coming unto them, and he findeth them asleep, and said unto them, Peter, what? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? He now says, watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. Right? So it means that there is a time to pray. Look at 42. And he went away again the second time, and he said the same prayer. And he came back in verse 43. He says, and he came and found them asleep again. You see, you don't redeem the time now. The next opportunity is another opportunity for you to redeem the time. If you don't redeem it again, the next opportunity is another time. But the truth is mainly that, how do you know how much time you have left to redeem time? That's the question. So he went and came back. You see, this day sleep was even intense. You know, there's a kind of sleep that you sleep, that if you are extremely tired, right, 1 hour sleep will be so long for you. That's why you see, he says, he came unto them again in verse 45, verse 43. Verse 43, and he came and they were asleep again, and their eyes were very heavy. What did he do in verse 44? He left them and he went again for another hour and prayed the third time. Then he cometh to his disciples. So Jesus was redeeming the time by praying for 3 hours. His disciples were redeeming their time by praying, by sleeping for 3 hours. Two types of disciples. I was together. Right. So look how this is. He cometh again in verse 45. And he found his disciples. See what he says in verse 45. He says, sleep on now. Why? There's a time. There's a time. He's not saying that they could not have prayed at the time when he says sleep on. But the truth is that there are certain things that ought to be done per time. And if you don't do it that time, it is not done by that time. Are we together? See it this way. What needs to be done, needs to be done. And if it is not done, it is not done. So he says, sleep on. He says, take your rest. You see, you ought not to rest when you have not done a lot with redeeming of time, knowing the days are evil. Are we together? Right? So he came and found them sleeping, and he says, sleep on. So what he says? He says, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Who did Jesus go with? Jesus went with one of the people that were betraying. Did Jesus know ahead? Yes. What do you think Peter should have been doing? Peter should have been what? Redeeming the time by praying. Do you know there's every tendency that in the real sense, if Peter had done better with what he ought to have done with time, he might not have been. By utterance, Jesus already told Peter that before the cock crow, you deny me 3 times. You know, but you see, what will prayer do? Prayer can re-alter and remanage. And let me say it this way, prayer can manage the situation. All together. So what did Jesus want them to do? Jesus wanted them to pray. How? Watch. Or let me say it this way, Jesus wanted them to watch how? By praying. So how do we watch? We watch by praying. So when we are praying as a church, don't say, I will cover up. Don't have that ideology in the coming year, right? If I don't meet up, that if I don't come for service, I will follow through the teaching. No, don't have that mindset. Is teaching good? Yes. What do you think Paul's time in their generation would have used to grow? No recording, no MP3, no cassette, no video player, nothing. How do you think they had to be present, available? So what should your MP3 website do for you? Just to make you re-listen to what you've listened to. You see, the website is not a remedy for being present physically. I'll not be there, I know. They will upload the teaching. No, that should not be your mindset. You are one who you will term as not wise. And you know really what that means. Let's see. Let me spell it out. You know that if you really, in the real sense, are deciding not to attend the gathering of saints, right, because the teaching will be made available, you are amongst the people that Paul will say, whether or be ye not what? Unwise. Are we together? Anyways, so the truth remains that there are certain things in meetings that if you miss from those meetings, you might never get it back, or it might take you a while to get it back. It might take you a while to understand. I'm not talking about all this, let me not go into that narrative. Anyways, so the question now becomes, when we are to meet physically, when we are to meet as a family, as a church, what do? We make ourselves readily available, knowing and understanding the will of the Father. And in days to come, you have promptings and urges to pray, right? What do? You pray, right? Once you have an urge to pray. In fact, if you are one who notch doesn't, you know, some believers that notch doesn't get to them. If notch doesn't get to you, go and see this year, write down the scriptures that speak about praying. Pray always, cease not to pray, continue in prayer. Write them down. Anytime there's no notch, go and notch yourself from those scriptures. Are we together? You see, we're not like them who have to wash our faces, wash our hands, and wash our legs before we can pray. No, we are those that the nudge will come, the remembrance to pray comes, and we just pray. We don't wash, we don't do kettle, we don't do all of all those things. We just dive in. We can come out where we choose to, but we just dive in. No prerequisite. Right? We have the nudge to pray. Right? So we don't get into the habit of postponing. Make the best use of time. Look for every opportunity to grow. Every opportunity. Are we together? Now, in the coming year, let me give you a few points or a few things that you need to pay attention to. And you need to deliberately wrap your goals around and see how you want to achieve them. Number one, have the heart of a child. Are we together? Matthew 18. Look at Matthew 18, verse 1. Jesus will say, look at verse 3. I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter. He says, whosoever therefore, verse 4, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom. And whosoever shall receive one such a little child in my name, receive me. So what is he really teaching? There is such a thing called the posture of a child. Altogether, you are open to learn. You are open to receive instruction. You are open to receive admonishing. You are open. You have the posture, the heart of a child. Open to listen to correction from God's word. Open to listen to correction from God's spirit. Open to listen to God to correction from your pastors. Are we together? Maintain the posture of a child. Let that be your mindset every year, or every day of the year, and the years to come. Number two. Put service to God first in all. Did you get that? Put service to God first in all. That is your service to God. Put that as first. That is, put the activities of your church as priority. You know, in our first meeting, we're going to have physically, we're going to reiterate, or rather, give us all the meetings we have, special meetings we're going to have all through the year. Block your calendars. Know those days. Know those dates. Know the time. Be ready to give yourself yet more and more to service. Be ready to be available. Be ready to make yourself available. You see, if you look at Mark 10:27. Look at Mark chapter 10, verse 27. So, and Jesus, looking upon them, says, with men it is impossible. Now, look at what he says in verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and we have followed thee. I hope you know, Peter did not leave all. You see, Peter's leaving all is his figurative expression to say, we are placed in priority following you. Are we together? We are placed in priority following you. We are placed in priority following you. Right, so I mean, you will see that they still continued fishing, they continued their fishing activities. You look at that in John 19, John 20, you realize that Peter still knew about his mother-in-law's health and took Jesus there to pray. So, leaving all doesn't mean we are abandoned. It's not a sense of abandonment to leave every other aspect of your life. You know, if you listen to me for a while, you know I believe strongly in the fact that a believer can be rounded. What I mean is, you can talk in every other conversation and have knowledge about every other conversation and still do well as a minister. You know, I believe strongly you can do well in career and do well as a minister, right? You see, you can work 8 to 6, right? You can work 9 to 5. I do that every day, right? And you can be a solid minister for the gospel of Jesus, right? In doing that, you are doing full-time ministry. Don't let anybody cajole you into all those full-time ministry requires you take out of time to tell you always no work, no labor, nothing. No. Full-time, what can be fuller than the full-time ministry Jesus did? Carpenter, yet ministry. What can be fuller than the full-time ministry that Paul did? Tent maker, yet ministry. Aquila and Priscilla, tent maker, yet ministry. Luke, physician, yet ministry. Peter, fisherman. We can keep going on and on and on. But the point remains that in all the activities of life, they prioritize ministry. All together. You see, a lot of times we sing that song, I'll put you in front, you and I, Jesus, you are all that matters. Let that be obvious in your action. Let that be obvious in your actions. Can you decide that you can walk around your holidays this year, right, in the real sense, that in the real sense might not or will not affect your service to the saints? Yeah, you can decide that. It is a choice. Yeah, you know, to redeem the time is an action that you ought to do. All together. Right? So, in the real sense, there's such a thing called the gathering of saints. That's why Paul, a writer of Hebrews, we say, do not neglect the gathering of what? Believers. Right? Do not forsake the gathering. Look at Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 25. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 25. Hebrews 10, 25. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So, if you look at Ephesians 5, when Paul categorizes two people, who are the two people? The wise and the foolish. So, not forsaking, is that a call not to be unwise? Yes. As a manner of some is that a manner of the unwise? Yes. Are we together? You see, you are not the body of Christ. I hope you know that. It is God's will that your spiritual growth is hinged around the coming together of like-minded believers. I hope you know that. I hope you know that in the real sense, man doesn't really grow in isolation. Man grows better or grows at best in the midst. So Hebrews say, not forsaking the gathering of brethren. Right? You see, Jesus when Jesus shed his blood, the curtain tore into two to show that we don't need to meet in a place again. They are fooling you are not aware. Yeah, they're not aware. See, in the real sense, there's such a thing called the gathering of saints, and there's such a thing called forsaking the gathering. The gathering, the festivity, the coming together. You see, when we come together, it's an opportunity to give expression to the Holy Ghost. Are we together? You see, online is good though, right? You can make use of it right now and have meetings like this. You see, we are doing remote meetings and all of those things. But the truth remains that you can never compare with physical meetings. Never. It's impossible. Let me ask, so how do we have believers meeting now online? Like this, if you want to have believers meeting, right? And somebody in Kaduna wants to minister, somebody in Lagos, or all of you in Abuja, right? Some of you in Abuja, or some of us in Edinburgh, right? How easy can we really have believers meeting like this on YouTube? You want to do it on Zoom. How many hours will you give per person to speak to everybody? Or you want to divide it into, you will walk your way around it. But the truth remains that Bible doctrine entails that we gather and meet physically. Who doesn't like going for family meeting? Right? You see, it's the custom of a lot of Nigerians that at the end of the year, they want to always go back to reunite with the family. Who doesn't like? If we say we are family, we ought to look forward to our family meetings and treat our service meetings, our meeting days, as family days. Are we together? This year, let me look at you all. This year, I want to hear more testimonies like, Pastor, they asked me to come for bridal shower, but in Christ, it was on this day. Or we had our weekly Bible seminar. Or we had our week-long Bible seminar. Even though they asked me to come for bridal shower, Pastor, I got there. I was there. I waited with them and I stayed with them. Or maybe it's online. Or I quickly came for meeting. Or I say, I will not be able to meet you. Or if you can move it, fine. Else, you know, we need to have meeting conversations like that. We need to have conversations like that. Such that, you see, even if at all you want to go for one, you know you can make up your mind that in a year you want to miss service once. You know you can. You know you can. I write that as a goal. This year, I don't want to miss a Sunday service, a Wednesday service more than 2 times. And right now, I don't know the 2 times. It's not the one that you will say you don't want to miss more than 2 times. When December starts coming, you say, since you've not missed 2 times, you now decide not to school. You now decide to miss the 2 times. No. It is that I'm not going to miss more than 4 services this year. I'm not going to miss more than 2 services this year. And the only reason I'm saying to is peradventure, worse come to worse, something urgent happens that takes me out of town. Are we together? Like I said earlier on, there are lots of people that if they were to lead choir, if they were to lead singing, if they were to minister, right, if they lead 5 minutes prayer, they will shift the bridal train. Yeah, I've seen it happen. It's not what I'm telling you, they told me. Yeah, the people you know. Yeah. See, don't let us have that relationship where because I want you to be present, I'm still pampering you and trying to give you responsibility so you can be there. No. You can decide, I will be there. You can decide, every Wednesday, I will not miss midweek services. Every Sunday service, I'll be there. Every vigil this year, every long hour vigil we're going to have, I'll be there. Number three, respond more to God's word and God's love in the year. Number one, I said, have the heart of a child, maintain the posture of a child. Number two, put your service and activities to God as priority in the coming year. Like Peter would say, we've left all. Can you really say we've left all? Right? Number three, respond more to God's love. Respond more to God's word. Let your devotion be evident for the blind to see. Let your devotion be evident for the unwise to see. You know, you can be a model to the unwise. Oh, that brother. Oh, that sister. Always redeeming the time. Why? Because you know the days are evil. You don't have time in your hands. Right? So respond more to God's word. If God's word says, do not forsake the garden, respond more. Okay, since this is God's word, this is not just an ordinary man's word, this is God's word, I place that as final authority over my life and I make deliberate effort to always be around. When you hear God's word, you hear your sins are forgiven, you hear the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you hear you are redeemed, what do? You rejoice, not, tell us something new. No, respond more to God's word in the year. Put yourself in the place of joy. Remind yourself of the joy that you received, the joy of salvation. Are we together? For instance, I've been in physical meetings and we'll ask people to rejoice. And you see that, ooh, just lifting one leg. I say, glory. I say, what happened? Say, you know, Pastor, you know, I'm that way. I don't really give expression. But watch them when they are watching their team play football. Think about yourself. If you rejoice over your team winning the World Cup more than you rejoice over redemptive truths, you have a long way to go. You see, when you are asked to rejoice, right, when the word of God says rejoice, the truth means that it is not that you have to pre-plan it. Let me think, actually, wait. Do you plan your celebration when your team scores? No. Do you plan your celebration when you get a job, before you get a job? You look forward to getting a job. You can only fathom or try to imagine a little of your expression of joy. But you know, when it comes, when you see that letter, you are full of joy. So respond more to God's word. right? You did not plan your reaction before you jumped up when you said goal. You did not plan your reaction. You just read the email. They've given you your letter. They're giving you your visa. What do? You rejoice. They give you, they credited your account. You rejoice. Your team scored good. You rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the word of God will cause us to rejoice. And this year we'll give attention yet more to rejoicing. Number four, you see, it's by extension from verse 3. Respond to God's word. Number four, in the real sense, will be, maybe 3b, meditate on the word yet more and more. Are we together? Meditate on the word yet more and more. Are we together? Meditate on the word yet more and more in the coming year. Read your Bible yet more and more. Listen to messages yet more and more. Don't only listen to messages when you are in church. Meditate on God's word. Put your environment, your house environment, your headset. See, let it be that when somebody catches you with a headset or headphones, 5 out of 7 times you are listening to God's word. Yeah? 5 out of 7 times. Let it be 10 out of 12 or 15 times you're listening to God. So meditate on God's word. Peter will tell you, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word. What? So that what will happen? That ye may grow thereby. That ye may grow thereby. That ye may grow thereby. Desire the sincere milk of the word. So in the coming year, you will do that for yourself. Are we together? That James will now tell you, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So meditate on the word, by extension, respond. Are we together? To the word. Right? Do exactly what you are asked to do. Do exactly what you are asked to do in situations. Give yourself to the word. You see, when you give yourself to the word yet more and more, when situations happen, they meet you ready with a response. The response of joy. That regardless and irrespective of what happens, you have a response. The response of joy. 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 No matter what happens, the response of joy. Yeah. And that's why you see, as a church, we give ourselves yet more and more to these same things over the years. We are repeating the same thing. I know you know. You see, if you go and take your notes from 2022, right, January, right? I only reviewed it and added a few things to what I'm teaching you today. I don't even have a recording uploaded. Go check it. Right? Why? See, I don't look for, whilst we need to grow, right? My goal is not to sound new when you listen to me. My goal is to emphasize the truth of God's word, the truth of the gospel. That's why you always see me repeat a lot. That's why you see I love series. Why do I love series? Because if I'm doing a series for 1 year, right? Or let's say the longest series we've had, let's say 840, let's say 85, so let's say 6 months. Yeah, maybe 6 months. 6 months will mean 2 meetings, Sunday and Wednesday, times 4, 2 times 4 per week. That's 8, then 8 in 5 months. So I've actually done a series for 10 months, let's say 10 months, right? Salvation, right? If you realize the repetition across those tracks is deliberate. See, not because what I want to call Salvation Series 2 is not ready, my notes is ready. Right? But if you listen to the over 70 tracks, right, you listen to the first few minutes, don't jump it. There's a reason. You see, don't be that believer that because you know I'm going to repeat the first 10, 15 minutes or 20 minutes of my teaching, you just jump and start listening from 21st minute. No, start from the beginning. There's a reason why you need to hear it again. Look at Hebrews 2. Say we ought to give ourselves yet the more to the things we've heard, lest they slip from our hands. Look at Hebrews 2:1. I want you to read it yourself so you don't say I'm quoting from the blues. Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard. Not necessarily new things. The things which we've heard. By extension, we'll take it a step further as the years unfold a step further. But the truth remains we need to give ourselves yet more. Why? Less at any time. We should let them what? Sleep. Are we together? So in the year, we want to give ourselves yet more to God's word. Oh, I've listened to this series 3 times. Yeah, if you think you have enough to listen to it because you want to understand something better, listen to it again. Repeat yourself, repeat yourself, repeat yourself, repeat yourself, repeat yourself. That's why I keep telling the leaders, right? There is safety in repetition. Right? There is safety in repetition. There is safety. There is safety. There is safety. There is safety in repetition. Safety in repetition. You see, all the series we did last year, we are going to redo them this year. Well, with different titles. You know that, you know. Yeah, this year it will remain joyful. Next year, that's why, thank God we have dictionary. Right? If it gets to the point where the name is not coming in my head, I'll just go and search online, synonym of staying. Right? So, is it the first series of January, making raising disciples. Next year, it will be making disciples. right? The other one will be training disciples, right? The other one will be sustaining discipleship. The same thing, you know, that's 4 years. We've repeated the same thing, right? What? There's safety in repetition. There's safety in repetition. You see, we first called it salvation. I started a series in the UK. I called it the God that saves. Same thing, you know. Same thing, you know. Same thing, you know. Right? This one we say investigating scripture. The next thing is navigating scripture. It's the same thing, you know. Or understanding scripture. You see, we know we've done understanding scripture. We've done investigating scripture. This year we'll do navigating scripture. The same thing. Same thing. Right? A little better, a little more refined knowledge, a better way to communicate the same thing, but the same thing. He says, give the heed to these things, lest they sleep. There's safety in the repetition for the believer. You see, repetition is our safe place as believers. We ought to listen and listen, meditate on the word. Never be too big. Don't think. You see, when we're reading scriptures, right? That's why a lot of times, even though sometimes we can quote Matthew 28, we can quote Mark, we can quote lots of scriptures, go there and read it again. See it again, right? When you're asked to open the Bible, check it again, view it again, examine again. Oh, that's another word. Navigating scriptures, investigating scriptures, examining scriptures. Yeah. So we already have to 2026 covered. The same thing. Are we together? The same thing. Now, the next point, number five, whatever number you want to give it, right? Guard your heart. It's linked to number three and four. Guard your heart and renew your mind by the word. Romans will tell you, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing. It's an ongoing process. Right? Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing. By the renewing of what? So what needs to be, Paul would say the renewing of the spirit of your mind. What needs to be renewed? Not your spirit. Your spirit is new. New, the new birth, the new heart. Ezekiel will tell you, I'll put my spirit, a new heart, a new spirit within you. There's no two ways about that. But the point remains, and it remains that we ought to give ourselves to the renewing of our mind. The proverb will tell you, keep thy heart with all diligence, circumspectly. Keep thy heart with all your guts, right? For out of it are the issues of life. Altogether. So guard your heart. So in the air, make up your mind. I'm not going to listen to this song again by this person. I'm not going to listen to this artist as a person. So people actually think I joke about certain things when I'm asking questions. So definitely we're in a world where without paying attention to certain songs or certain lyrics, you will hear it, you will know it, right? Your ears are not, shocked, right? But I ask people questions like, oh, who sang that song? Oh, this is what this person did, this is what this person did. Oh, give me an example of a song he sang. I'm not asking because I'm trying to form whole. No. If I know it, the author, I'll tell you. But the point is, I don't pay attention to those things, right? You see, in over 8 to 10 years, I can't remember myself going to go and listen to a wayward, what you call wayward, a word. Anyways, we'll do a series on, we should do a series on singing this year. I did a series in 2018, right? Praises through the lens of Christ. We'll give it another name. Maybe it's praises through the lens of the Spirit, or examining praises through the lens of the Holy Ghost. Same thing. Anyways, but we'll do that this year. But the point is this. You see, a lot of times, when you sing and listen to certain songs, right, and certain things, it becomes your reality. Do you understand? It becomes what you begin to say. Mind you, I'm not saying it is songs that frame. Somebody can now say, how come the one I've listened to? No. I'm trying to say that eventually, it doesn't put your mind in a state of always thinking of redeeming the time. It shocks me why a believer, I don't know if you are amongst them, but it shocks me why a believer should have a playlist, right, of ridiculous songs. This is my playlist. Now, you're bold enough to even share it with your fellow believer friends. I will now do group listening on Spotify. And that's the Spotify, there's a message to listen to. See, a lot of times, there's something, we're not of this world. You don't have to act like this world. Let me tell you something, dear saints. That you don't do certain things that the world expects you to do doesn't mean you are missing out on a lot. It doesn't. I can keep giving you examples upon examples upon examples, but it doesn't mean that you're missing out on a lot. No, it doesn't. So in this year, guard your heart. What do you listen to? What kind of things do you listen to? What? Because eventually, right, that is what you begin to sing. Right? That's what you need to say. Before you know it, your week is filled of ridiculous negative statements, framing your mind with perverse thoughts. And before you know it, you come to church and you lift up holy hands. Beautiful, God receives your holy hands. Are we together? But the truth remains that you ought to guide yourself. See, the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence. There are some things that you don't need to watch. There are some series you don't need to watch. There are some things you don't need to pay attention to. There are some things you don't need to listen to in the coming year. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Next point, right? Remember, meditate on the word by extension, respond to the word by extension, guard your heart by renewing your mind with the word. The next one, preach the word. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away, all things have become new. Behold, all things are of God, who has reconciled us back to himself. Now he has given us the word, ministry of reconciliation. Preach the word. Preach the word. Paul will tell Timothy, a time will come when people will no longer, you know, we have itching ears. They will not want to listen to sound doctrine. But the Bible says, Paul will tell Timothy, he says, endure hardship. Right? Stay there. Preach the word in season, out of season. What is preach the word in season, out of season? What they want to hear, when they don't want to hear it, when they want to hear it, stay with the truth of God's word. It says, for a time will come, they will no longer endure sound doctrine. That means sound doctrine ought to be endured, not necessarily enjoyed. Altogether, we enjoy by celebrating the riches of that which he has given us as a spirit, but the truth is, it is a painstaking, deliberate effort you need to put for you to grow. Number seven, next point, right? So this links as well to responding to the word. Make it a point of duty to outdo people around you in the love walk. Yeah, look at someone around you and say, this year I'm going to forgive you more. Either I like it or not, I'm going to forgive you more. Are we together? Right? There are times when those people will still annoy you, when those people will still irritate you, but you can actually pause yourself in the middle of the irritation, right? And actually tell you, okay, I said I'm going to forgive you more. Okay, forgive you, that's fine. Let's just leave that. Not let's just leave it and not be holding. No, let's just leave it and let it end there. Yeah, make it a point of duty than the year. So things you can do with the year, maintain the heart of a child, remain in God's word, prioritize service among the saints, prioritize meeting, gathering of saints, make it a point of duty to respond to God's word, make it a point of duty to preach the word, make it a point of duty to meditate on the word, make it a point of duty to outdo in love work. Jesus will say, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, who are as wise as serpents, be harmless like wolves. That's instruction to us, right? Do not let your words, try to season your words with grace, right? Be committed to love work, right? Don't, in this year, make it the point of duty not to speak as you feel. All right, together, make it the point of duty not to speak how you feel, right? But always lend your word to God's word, right? Right? See, you see, you can decide that you want to walk in love. And as I finish this video, somebody will just offend you. But you have the right to redeem the time. You have the opportunity. You have the privilege. You have the chance, the choice to redeem the time. And to walk circumspectly, right? Understand the will of the Father. Why not take our time to pray? Why not take our time rather than 5 hours to argue, 5 hours to argue? No, you can actually stay calm and actually be, I'm going to walk in love more than you. Altogether, I looked at my wife yesterday and I said, I'm going to walk in love more than you this year. I'm going to outdo you in love. Yeah, after this call, I'll still say it again to her. Right? I'm going to outdo you in love. You see, there's something called retaliation. But the retaliation for the believer is to retaliate with love. Yeah, I'm going to retaliate to you with love. I will try my best. I will bring my consciousness to redeem the time and retaliate. I will stone you with the stone of God, the stone of Jesus. The stone which Jesus used to stone that woman and killed condemnation. Right? Remember the story I taught that last year. Right? They brought out stone, wanted to stone the woman to death. And Jesus said, let he who has no sin cast the first stone. What did Jesus do by doing that? He picked a stone. In picking the stone, this is the stone, the rock, which is the rock of ages, is the stone that kills condemnation. Is the stone that kills her, that kills unforgiveness, right? So we'll stone ourselves with love. So you might come to a house and just see lots of stones around. Yeah, the stone is the stone of love. I hope you know you see it on the floor, right? So the question now becomes, you can actually decide, I want to make up my mind this year to walk in love yet more and more, yet more and more. I want to forgive yet more and more. By extension, the next one, use your words, use the word of God to resuscitate or to recalm or to calm your mind despite the storm. Use the word of God to stay joyful. Remind yourself. Remind yourself of what the word says you are, not what people say you are. People might say you are wicked, you are terrible, you are this, you are that, regardless of that. So if really, really you know that you're actually doing wicked things, stop it though. Right? But the point remains that regardless of whatever man says to you, remind yourself, what does God say? Remind yourself every morning, I'm who the word says I am. I'm who God says I am. What does God call you? Righteous, holy, a holy nation. Right, a chosen, a peculiar people, a holy nation, a chosen generation, right, a royal priesthood. I am come, I am the son of God, I'm a child of God, I've come into his kingdom, And I stay faithful. 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 So take our time to pray in the year. Now, that's the last one. Take our time to watch across the year. We taught that earlier in today's teaching. What does it mean to watch? We watch by praying. The second verse, I said this year, I'm going to pray more. Right? I'm going to pray at least 30 minutes a day. I'm going to pray at least 15 minutes a day. And whilst praying 15 minutes a day, once a week I'll pray 30 minutes. And once a month I'll pray 1 hour. Make up your mind. Redeem the time. And it's not a question of when that time is not time for you to pray. You're not saying, I pray 15 minutes. I feel no, 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 no. Have a sense of urgency. Right? Have a sense of urgency. Have a sense of urgency. Right? So you make up your mind that in the years to come, in days to come, you would highlight and put in priority the word of God, the truth of God's word. Right? You will put in a higher class the truth of God's word. You will itemize God's word and make it primary to your heart and remind yourself of what God's word says. And the years and days to come, you remind yourself that you ought to redeem the mind, the time rather, right? Circumspectly, right? Paying attention to time and making use of every season, every opportunity that comes your way. Anyways, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way.